Good morning. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, no doubt about it. It is the third Sunday of Advent. It's the Advent that the Sunday that we speak of joy. And I'll tell you, sometimes seeing these young adults up here and these young kids up here brings a lot of joy. My heart was really moved when your young son came running and said, "Daddy, I really pray and wish that that's how we could be in church. That we could come running in and be excited because really we're with one who loves us so much." As you saw with that young individual, he was trusting so much in his father. He was excited to see him. And sometimes we come through the door like someone licked all the frosting off our cake and we're just kind of sluntering in hoping no one sees us. But I'm telling you, I'm thrilled to see each and every one of you. If you're a guest and you're from another congregation, please be welcome. Know that your presence here means a lot to us. If you don't attend churches anywhere, but you come to support your children, your grandchildren, your niece, nephew, a neighbor, whatever, just know that you're welcome here, and we just praise God that you're here with us today, because it's a joy to have you here. It really is. And that's something that I think we need to remember. And as we saw even today, there's a lot of different individuals that have different gifts. You have younger ones and older ones, and you have some that can carry others and some that, you know, are kind of a little bit behind. I'm not making fun. I'm that way. I'm always behind. But the fact of it is, we are all still important and we are all necessary. And maybe some will have a louder voice and some will have a quieter voice, but they still bring the same praise. When you walk through the doors of at least this congregation, because it's the one I serve in, there are some that are a little bolder that'll come up and say hello and encourage you. And there's some that are a little quieter, and it doesn't mean that they don't care. They might be more quieter and shyer. So don't be offended, and let's just enjoy each other, and let's just remember that we all have different personalities, different gifts, but we are all welcome. We're all encouraged to be here. Today, for our message, I want to speak on the aspect of joy. First, I should thank you, young adults, once again, for doing everything. Thank you, Mona, for giving us a wonderful program, and all of you teachers. All of you worked very hard. There's no doubt about it. But then also all you students, because it's not easy coming up here. Mom and Dad are kind of making you, and some of you are a little more exuberant and willing to do, and some of them are just doing what they got to do. That's okay. There's some Sundays I come up here and I don't want to. And there's some Sundays the Lord just has me on fire and I can't wait. So, you know, just take it day by day. Our sermon text for today, being this Sunday of joy, we're going to actually read from Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to go over in verses 8 through 15, and because everybody's comfortable, everybody's sitting and stuff, let's just stay seating. I see that Erica's holding her baby, so Mama, I want you to stay there and enjoy it, so we'll just stay sitting today. And I'm going to read this in Jesus' name. We will still bring him honor and glory, whether sitting or standing. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 8 through 15, reading in Jesus' name. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothing and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Amen." May the Heavenly Father add a blessing to the reading of his word today and every day henceforth. Amen. Wait till that girl starts singing. We'll be able to hear her. It's my granddaughter. I can pick on her a little. Anyways, talking about joy, you know, really, when you think about it, right, joy is actually more long-lasting. If I could say some other word that would go along with joy, it would be contentment. We may have a treasure in our life, and we'll look at it, and we'll say, boy, that really brings me a lot of joy. And we will plan on keeping that treasure for a long time to continue to give that joy. But so many times in our life, we have a tendency to forget about the understanding of joy, and we go more towards pleasure. What will bring me pleasure? But when I think of pleasure, I think more consumable. That it doesn't last. That it fades quickly. And we can see this in a negative effect in people's lives where they're looking for pleasure to escape. and it never seems to bring satisfaction. And so it's a continuous cycle. But then we also have the understanding of when we have joy in our life, we have joy and peace and hope. It's very amazing that we actually are encouraged. And that's really all I want to do today. I want to talk to you about the aspect of having this joy in your life. See, our candles, they all represent something. And some of you in the congregation have been through it 114 times. But some may be guests, say. So today, the first Sunday of Advent, we had here hope. Okay, so now we talked about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And then we have peace. Because we have the hope of Jesus Christ, we have peace. And then be having the hope and the peace, we then now have joy. And this brings constant satisfaction, if we could say it in that way. And the last one, if you come next week, we'll talk about love. But anyway, what kind of joy do we have? When we sit and we think about it for a moment and we turn and we say, you know, do I have joy in my life? And is it an everlasting joy or is it more of a pleasure that comes and goes? Sometimes we look in our lives and we think that, especially when it comes to the understanding of God, that we don't have a lot of value. Sometimes when it comes to the understanding of God, we think that we're not really worthy, say even in a church situation, to come through these doors. Sometimes we think we don't have enough talent to stand in the front row, the back row, or the middle row. But the fact of it is we all are given the abilities by God to honor Him. And that's what we're here for. Your presence here today brings honor to God. It's not that you have to perform something big. It's not that you have to go through the right steps and all the formulas. All those things take place, no doubt about it, in human tradition. But you came here today and you honor God with your presence because He gave His life for you. Too many times we hear the statements, and being a pastor, I hear it quite often. Is that, well, I came through the doors and the roof stayed up. There's a couple girls that come here and they help out quite a bit and they always joke with me because they know I love that statement. I'm going to tell you something. Thanks be to God for His grace because I stand behind this pulpit every day and there's not a trap door, not every day, every Sunday, and there's not a trap door here. The roof has stayed up every time I've come in. And what I mean by that is I am no greater and no less than you, and you are no greater and no less than me. We all have value in the eyes of God, and that's what makes us have this ability to come here to worship. So your presence today here brings us great joy. Whether you've been coming every day your whole life, or as I said, you come as a guest. It's a great joy. So on the same night that we're talking about here, shepherds were out in the field, right? And they were keeping watch over the flock by night. We may not think much of this, but being a shepherd was not considered your elite job. Watching over the flock at night was not considered, you know, being CEO. It was a lower-end work. It was a dirty work. It was a tiring work. It was a lark of a lot of labor. And so when you turn around and look at this, now when the revelation of Jesus Christ's birth comes to this world, it didn't go to the elite, it didn't go to Herod, it didn't go to all these other individuals that you would expect. It came to the common individual. So brothers and sisters in Christ, He came to you. He came to me. He came to those that you would probably not expect. Especially in our human understanding. There were these shepherds that were out there. And they were out there doing their job. But now the messenger of the Lord appears to them. And the glory of the Lord, in other words, it wasn't their own glory, but it was God Himself revealing Himself in and through these messengers. It just shines right about them. And they were filled actually with great fear. This is very human and very understandable. Can you imagine being out in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden this light shines around about you, bringing this magnifying intensity to you? you would be basically falling to your knees in fear of what's going to happen. And now we're understanding that we're encountering a messenger of God. But so many of us are filled with fear sometimes when we come to places like this. Don't think that I'm not filled to fear when I stand behind a pulpit and think every word that I say is going to be held accountable. But the reality of it is we always stand in the means of grace. It is true for me, it is true for you, that our God loves us, and he wants to make himself known to us. They were filled with fear. In our human understanding, now thinking, well, now God's messenger is showing up and these people are full of fear, well, it serves them right. That's to be our human understanding. You better sober up, you better straighten up, you better get your act together. But how does the angel speak with them? He brings the same message that Christ Jesus, after his resurrection, brings to us every time. He says, fear not. Don't be afraid. He says, look. Look, I'm bringing you good news. And he says, this good news is great joy. It's great joy that will be for those that can figure out the secret with the decoder ring. Is that what it says? No. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm coming here with a great job. I'm coming here to bring you some wonderful news. And this wonderful news is for everyone. For you. For me. For them out there in this world. This news is that important. And it is not a news of burden. It is a news of encouragement, of great joy. It is a message that in reality will bring hope into our lives, that will bring peace to our lives, and that we can live in the joy that God intended us to live in. So he comes across very strongly. He says, fear not. He says, I'm bringing you good news, great joy that will be for all people. He says, because today, in all honesty, in Bethlehem, in the city of David, there is a Savior born, one who will save you. One who gives his life in your behalf. We're not called to religion. We're called to the understanding that God so loved us, he gave us the remedy. He didn't come just to bring pleasure for a moment. He came to give us eternal joy, that we would have this peace. We live in a world, we don't like to admit it, that does not have peace. We live from moment to moment and thing to thing, trying to find contentment in so many others, and it all fails us. But this messenger is saying, it doesn't matter what the religious society is saying, it doesn't matter the traditions of men, what I'm coming to share with you is something that will change your life forever. A Savior is born. I don't know about you, but I needed the Savior. Because as good as I tried to be, you know how we always say, well, you know, I've always been a good boy. I've always tried to do the right thing. Boy, I got some bad things in my life. I need the Savior. I may be able to fool the world with my external, but my internal, left to my own devices, would nail me to the wall. But Christ Jesus was nailed to a cross so that I would not have to be. So that you would not have to be. So I'm telling you, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can walk boldly through those doors, that we are encouraged, that I am a child, that I am a child of God. It's an amazing thing. We spoke of all the names of Jesus. We spoke of how he's talked about throughout the scripture. But to consider that all those names that he is called, he turns around and he says, we are his children. His children. He even goes beyond that and he says, we are his friend. Is that what you see of the religious society of men making God out to be our friend? No, exactly right, no. But he is. Humans have misrepresented your God. And I'm sure I have, and I ask forgiveness for that. Because in my moments of weakness, I want to control. But the fact of it is that he comes, and this messenger comes, and he brings us great tidings of joy. He says, guess what? A Savior is born. just as the scripture said, in the town of Bethlehem, David's city. He says, and you're going to find this, and you're going to understand this, because you will find in that city a baby wrapped in these swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As Brother Mark even opened with, he didn't come in some great pomp and circumstance. He didn't come and speak to those that were only the elite. He came for all humankind. Last I checked, I'm part of that humankind. In my successes and in my frailty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's who you are. In your successes and your failures, he still comes for you. He encourages you. He encourages you to see this one, to know this one. Stop looking to the facades of religion and know Christ Jesus, because he is your remedy. He says, you're going to find this there. And it says, basically, there was a celebration. There was a geckity beyond all geckities, a big celebration. It says there was a whole host, a heavenly host, praising God, bringing honor and glory to God for what he has done through this Christ child. Remember, we often think that Jesus only came for those that deserve him. It says that he came into this world for the whole world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would what? Believe in him. Not do all the right steps, not do all the right measures. Those things will come in due time. But to know him. To know him. That they would have eternal life. And it says in the next verse, which we often forget, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's what religious men do. But to save it. They were praising God. And they were bringing glory to God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. See, we're not tree huggers. We're not turning around and saying that now we're going to have peace in this earth. But we can have peace on earth. In spite of everything else that's going on around us, we can still have peace with it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of it because of my comment. No, obviously, we take care of it. But we always become disdained because we turn around and say, but there's so much turmoil, there's so much struggle. You know, and I've heard people say to me, well, if there is a God, why is there this? We have a tendency to judge God by the fallen world instead of knowing God by the revelation of his word. And the revelation of his word speaks life to each and every one of us. We will have peace upon this earth, but it doesn't mean that we're going to have peace throughout it. Why are we always looking for that? Maybe you think I'm nuts. Maybe you think my statement is out there. Well, has everything in your life worked out perfectly? Every little earthly plan worked out just the way you want it? Probably not. But how do you still continue, sustain through it? By the peace you have in Jesus Christ. That you can go through what you must go through. And that's really what it's talking about here. There will be peace upon earth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't think that after the coming of Jesus that there wasn't any more struggles for the apostles, for anybody else. There was. But they endured it through the cross. Through Christ. They were praising God. They were speaking very highly and making known that there will be peace upon this earth among those in whom he is well pleased. And I think it's so interesting. Jesus is spoken of in this fashion a couple times. I believe the transfiguration, and also at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God finds satisfaction through Christ Jesus. God, in this Christmas season, has given us Christ Jesus so that he, in reality, will be our satisfaction. If you think that you don't, say, own up, or you don't, you're not worthy enough, I'm going to tell you this right here and right now. Of myself, I am not either. But I know of the satisfaction in Christ Jesus and the love that he gives for each and every one of us. I know the sin debt that he's paid for in my life. by the finished work of Jesus Christ, I am made worthy. That is there for you too. That's the joy of the Christmas season, that we would have the hope in Christ to bring peace to our lives, to actually have this joy, where we can live in a chaotic world, but still find peace. May you be encouraged with that this Christmas season. May you know the love of God, because the love of God is much bigger than any human being. The love of God was given to you in the form of Christ. Receive it this day, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every one that's come here. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school that has shared. But we thank you also for each and every individual that has come through these doors today. We ask that you would be with them, that you would encourage them, that you would give them a hope that would move forward into peace and joy, and that, Father, they may know your everlasting love. We ask that you'd be with us as we have a time of fellowship. We ask that you would allow everyone to feel free and welcome to come to this time of fellowship, whether they brought something, whether they didn't know, whatever. Father, we just desire fellowship, visitation. Father, we thank you for all things, but most of all, the gift of life. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, there is dinner prepared today. Please, if you are a guest and you just showed up today, please feel free to come. And if you have all kinds of gluten and stuff,